If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
And it is John Pollock along with Damian Abraham, who I can see in the screen was singing along with the song. I feel honored. If we could get the Damian Abraham cover, that would be something else.
I don't think I've ever been on the show where there's been the entrance music. Like normally, you know, that was added post. So being here, hearing it live, like I'm hyped. Like I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just ready to hear you and Way talk and not actually have to talk myself. So,
well, we can start the countdown. Way Ting returns in 7 days.
I'm here to make that time seem even further away for everyone here. I'm like I'm on the last to call list on the post.
No, you're not. When you, I thought you would be too above this kind of thing, but then you said you were down. So I took you up on that offer.
Oh, this is my most listened to podcast. I listen to you guys all the time, every episode still. And, you know, and it's not just when you're going to make fun of me on air. It's no. Every episode.
Damian's been dropping some big interviews of late. Kate Nash recently, Bob Mould, we mentioned Billy Idol. Fred Armisen has been known to stop by, turned out a punk. I think multiples you've done with Fred.
Fred's been on quite a few times now. Fred's the one person who has not learned that you don't answer Damian's call. He needs to go to the John Pollock School of dealing with Damian, which is, oh shit, Damian's calling. Decline.
Not true at all. I always answer when you call.
He hasn't learned that yet, John. So it definitely, like, that's the reason I keep doing it, is just because every time my brother books a guest, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk to this person. This person's interesting. And
when you get a guest like Billy Idol, how much advance notice do you have? Like, is it, hey, you're interviewing Billy Idol tomorrow?
Well, it's been like, as I told you before, it's been like 2 years that my brother's been kind of working on this. And every once in a while, he'd be like, hey, Billy Idol's publicist wrote and said that Billy's going to be doing stuff soon. So, you know, but I feel like,
and he's promoting a book, right? So
he's promoting a new record. The book's kind of old, but I just, I went back and re-listened to the book, and it's a great book, by the way. Like he reads it very sexy. And like, there's a sultry kind of read to it.
Oh, so he does his own.
He book. Does his own on the audiobook. And then there's a lot of sex stories. So,
oh, okay.
It gets a little naughty when you're listening to that audiobook. But yeah, I went back and listened to it. He's got a brand new record that he's kind of promoting. He's got a duet with Avril Lavigne, in fact.
Yeah. This was all news to me through you on the show to get all my Billy Idol news.
But I feel like with Billy Idol, he's someone that I've kind of been preparing for it my whole like fandom of punk rock, because he was in this band Generation X that's a huge band for me. And then, you know, like I've just, you know, he's Billy Idol, like he's like Hulk Hogan for music. in a bit, but a good person. Unlike Hulk.
My favorite on these shows is when he's telling a story and he's searching for the name and you just have it right away. I mean, it's I marvel at just the fountain of information that you have stored on these shows. Like, I'll say 80% of what you're talking about, like, is just so above my head, but you speak with such authority about this. I marvel. Like, there's no preparation that can do that. Like, your whole career is a preparation for this show, basically.
Well, because, like, before I started doing Turn Out of Punk, I listened to you and I listened to Colt Cabana, and I'm like,
punk rock authorities of pro wrestling.
No, but like, I looked at Colt Cabana with his lived experience in it. And I'm like, okay, I have that. And I looked at you with your knowledge and, like, you know more about wrestling. And I know someone would be like, oh no, this guy knows more. But, like, honestly, John, you know, dates and crazy shit. So I'm like, if I can be the John Pollock of punk, I think this podcast will work. Like, if I can just have, and that's the thing is, like, I think I know about as much about punk as you know about pro wrestling. And I feel like whenever someone throws out a thing, I can just talk about it. Like, same way, if I could throw any random wrestling name, you would know and be able to go off on it. And that's what I was like, okay, I'm going to be the John Pollock of punk and know all this shit. And it sounds like I'm making this up now, but I swear I've told Way this if I haven't told you this before.
I'm following along. We are doing this live as the Canadian federal election is winding down. It's a nail biter now. We have the Liberals are ahead of the Conservatives by 4 seats at the moment, with polls still being tabulated. So we might get a result by the end of this show. We might not, though. It is it's a close one. So we will see what happens.
God. This is just as nerve-wracking as when the TNA sale went through just before I did Review Away with you that time.
Oh, yeah, that was a very chaotic day for many reasons. Well, tonight we are talking about Raw from Kansas City, Missouri. You ever been to Kansas City, Missouri, Damien?
I have. I've been to Kansas City, Missouri once, I guess, maybe, you know, yeah, I've definitely been there because I remember having barbecue there, and it was fantastic barbecue.
Well, tonight they were at the T-Mobile Center with Russell Six reporting 10,468. And we've got, just for you, Damien, a replacement GM for the night. Nick Aldis is there in place of Adam Pearce. I don't know how this quite works. Nick Aldis got to pretty much just control everything on Raw for one night.
He is, you know, I'm
these wondering, not like warring GMs, and it's just, hey, I'm sick, I'm going off with my family for a vacation, you can just run my entire fiefdom.
And that's why I guess he's just going to run into the ground tonight. He's like, yeah, just do whatever you want. I don't care about this show.
Well, they tee things up by stating that Gunther is suspended indefinitely. He's also been fined an undisclosed amount, and Pat McAfee will address this later tonight. And boy, would he. But to start the show, Seth Rollins comes out with Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman. And dude, this may turn out to be a tremendous heel faction, but my God, are they going to have to fight these crowds, because they love Seth Rollins. They're singing for this guy. They think Bron Breakker is cool as shit. And I mean, they came out and it was just like, they love this group.
Yeah, like people like talk shit on Logan Paul, and I get it. But at least Logan Paul knows what you're supposed to do, which is be hated so people want to see you get punched in the face. Like, when Jey Uso punches him in the face, it's going to feel fucking amazing. Like, but watching Seth, especially when he's giving the crowd the mic to sing his entrance theme, like, it's like, no, you should be cutting them off. Like, this whole thing is, we're going to, like, and I guess, like, throughout the course of the shows, I'm sure we'll talk about, they kind of, you know, they build up the heel heat a little bit with him and make him the bad guy a little bit. But I don't know. I was like, I wish he was, it's a perfect opportunity for him to kind of like turn this audience against him when they're that much in love with him.
So Rollins addresses the crowd. He says, I know it's hard for some of you that are all still chanting for CM Punk. And he stops, thinking that the whole place is going to erupt in CM Punk chants. Dude, there are none. And he just waits and waits. And then it's like these forced punk chants. And then he says, and for all of you that are still pointing up the one, at least the fans, okay, that we can do. And he says he is the future of this industry. This industry runs through Seth Rollins. So Sami Zayn comes out and calls this all a bunch of crap. You are no different than CM Punk and Roman Reigns. You're linking up with Paul Heyman. Maybe this whole time, Seth, you were just jealous. And Rollins warns Zayn that you're either with us or you're a target. And Rollins explains he is friends with Sammy. He doesn't want to hurt him. We could pull some strings and get you off of Raw and save you from being a target of ours. So we are just, I felt this needed, throughout the show, they explained this a bit better. But this just all of a sudden said, well, you've walked out here. You must leave the show. And that's that. Not a, let's just call a truce. Let's just go our separate ways. No, you are going to leave the show entirely. So this would be the show-long decision that Sami Zayn would have to make by the end of the night if he will leave Raw or if he will stay on Raw and become a target. Spoiler. He's staying.
That would be awesome. He's just like, you know what, guys, I got to go. Peace this out. Is way too scary for me.
Yeah, this is too much. There's two of you and one of me. Rhea Ripley and Roxanne Perez was our first match of the show. They mentioned the two had a pick your poison match 3 years ago. Perez throws her jacket into Ripley's face, allowing her to chop block the knee and would work the knee. This was very reminiscent of Tessa Blanchard's offense on the Rebellion pay-per-view on Sunday. Did you catch Rebellion?
I did not watch Rebellion, but Tessa Blanchard was one of the worst interviews I've ever done in my life. So
how far?
I interviewed her one time and she was not stoked on having to do the interview. It wasn't for the wrestlers. It was for Vice Daily.
Oh boy.
And it was very, you know, John, and you've been there when you get that person that does not want
to be there.
Yeah.
Been there many times.
Yeah. She definitely was any place, but being interviewed by Damian for Vice at that moment.
Well, she's unfortunately become a Vice for a fandom as well with some of their treatment of her. Perez wraps the knee around the post and then uses a Indian deathlock. Then we see Ripley get her up for a razor's edge and gets a two count. She's limping around on the bad leg. And then Julia appears for the second week in a row, distracting Ripley. And Ripley blocks a pop rocks, grabs Julia, and then rolls out, headbutts Perez. And as she's going for the riptide, Julia attacks for the DQ at 11:49. Crowd was not happy with this finish. And they're double teaming Ripley when Io Sky runs down, stopping Perez and Julia. And then as she goes for a springboard, gets knocked off balance. So they're beating down Io when Ripley clears the ring, and we have Ripley and Io side by side with Julia and Perez, who are kind of in this weird in between NXT and the main roster. Perez, this has been her case for like months, but now Julia, this is 2 weeks in a row they've used her on Raw.
Yeah, she's got such natural charisma. Like, I know that was like, oh, is she going to be able to carry that over when she gets to WWE? But I feel like, yeah, she's got this thing where you like, just want to kind of see what she does.
They just wanted to send to Mayu Iwatani, saying, you know, this could be you.
This could be you. Come here. I get the mommy thing, but Michael Cole's got to stop saying mommy on commentary because it's super weird.
I guess that's there's a lot of range of which Michael Cole seems to exercise with where
mommy coming back.
Judgment Day is in the back. The gist of this is that Finn Balor is out of the loop. No one's telling him about anything. He didn't know JD was coming back last week, and he was also not informed that he's got a tag match with JD against the War Raiders tonight. And so fraction continues with a, is that it? The fracture continues.
Yeah, the fission? Frission? Fracture. Fracture works. Fracture.
Logan Paul comes out. Another wordsmith here. He brags about his win over AJ Styles and starts insulting Jey Uso. Just out of nowhere here. Paul says he's done everything in wrestling except win a world championship. So this could be it for him. He says that Jey's days are numbered as champion. Jey comes out, calls him a punk-ass YouTuber, and says that I'm not going to just hand this title over. And he challenges Logan Paul to come get it. And later tonight, Logan Paul would just come and get it. And Paul says, I've done more in 4 years than you've done in 15. And you're going to do like usual, crash out and lose the title faster than you lost that Intercontinental title. And then he gets super kicked for his action. So it certainly looks like Jey Uso and Logan Paul, probably a backlash, is our direction. And this was just totally out of nowhere. But I guess this is the kind of setup you get when you have a pay-per-view 2 weeks apart.
That's why, like, Logan Paul, never watched his YouTube content, really hate him just on sight for some reason, but that's
like
why
you, like you, he's been to Japan. Unlike you, he cannot go back to Japan.
Yes, yeah, like, it gives me more reason to love Japan, the fact they won't let him in. But that being said, like, that's what you want from a heel. Like, I do want to see someone beat him really badly. Like, I want to see that happen, and I feel like it can come out of nowhere, this guy, and you don't really need a lot to kind of get that fire going in the crowd to want to see him lose. Because
I think this is a good opponent for Jey Uso coming off of WrestleMania. Like, this is always a tough position, like the first title defense for your big champion you crowned at Mania. And I think Logan Paul on a couple weeks build is a great opponent for Jey Uso to have. And yeah, it's like, this wasn't really teased beforehand, but it's a fine title match to go to.
Yeah, he's protecting wrestling's honor against this YouTuber. And, you know, after AJ Styles fell, this is like the, I think it's, as you're saying, like a great first title defense.
The War Raiders against the unsuspecting Finn Balor and JD McDonagh with the New Day on commentary. And they just steamrolled Cole. And I don't even know if Pat McAfee got in two words during this match. So Ivar is on the floor and he runs with his running cross body right into the LED screen at the side of the ring, and everyone goes nuts. He misses, and Woods just says, they only cheer because he's fat. Like, that's his whole analysis of Ivar. He's only over because he's fat. And they work over Eric for a long time. Ivar misses the doom salt. Then JD comes in, hits an acai moonsault to the floor, and then he hits the moonsault on Ivar. Eric makes the save. New Day are yelling instructions from the desk. Ivar gets sick of them, throws Finn Balor into the New Day, and crashes into them. The referee is literally distracted by Carlito's apple as Penta appears, knocking JD off the top, and they hit the War Machine to JD as Ivar gets the pin in 10:34, and alluding to the War Machine getting a rematch with the New Day.
Yeah. Finn Balor's got the best body in the world, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, things that we can aspire to in our 40s.
Well, there's no way I can aspire to that. I can just look at it and be like, damn, that a lot of work went into that. It's such a weird dynamic. Like, I know this is very obvious, but the size differential between these guys, like, you never really feel like the War Raiders are really in that much peril from these dudes. But I like the War Raiders. Eric also does the X when he comes down, like CM Punk does, because he's obviously a straight edge warrior. So I can't wait till eventually they get a CM Punk, Eric straight edge faction going on. Straightest Society Part 2, but like this time it's actually with other
maybe all three of them, the Eric, Ivar, and Punk can come out at a Mania with a Clash of Clans outfits.
Is Ivar straight edge though, John? I don't know.
I don't know about Ivar. Yeah.
He doesn't have enough tattoos to let me know for sure. Because Eric's definitely got a few straight edge tattoos. He's got the Path of Resistance Eagle on his chest. I know you're a huge fan of the Path of Resistance record.
Love them.
And he's got like the X right there below it. Anyway. This is for my tattoo body art podcast, not here.
You've given more character depth than they have to the War Raiders in these last 2 minutes.
I would love to hear them like kind of like explain going from being a Viking to a biker and the transition from riding on ships to riding on motorcycles.
That would be a great 2 week story to explain.
I would go for it. I'm there.
Zayn is in the back with Otis, tapping into Otis's expertise on what to do. Heyman walks in and they remark that they are OG Bloodline, but he blew up what was left of the Bloodline, this being Heyman. And Heyman explains that Braun is demanding a match with you, and we can't tell him no, because Braun is the key to our plan. And Sammy, if you accept this trade to SmackDown, you can avoid all of this, and you get the winner of Cena versus Orton. No questions asked. You can live in the future or die in the past. And Heyman leaves, and Braun is eavesdropping on this conversation. So now Sammy has the weight of this guaranteed title shot if he takes the offer and goes to SmackDown. So at least you had some tangible reason for him to take this instead of the first hour that you were just like, what's the incentive here for this guy? So they at least introduced this here.
I love his outfit. Sammy looks like he plays in Lungfish or something with that. And he's wearing, I think the shirt's made by Penguin, which I don't even think is a brand anymore that makes clothes. So he must have been holding on to that shirt for years. But it's really like, I don't know, there's just something about the way he's dressed tonight that I was kind of obsessed with. I think in contrast to the way everyone else on the show's dressed too.
Yeah, he's got a definitely more grounded approach to style.
Especially today, though. Like this outfit in particular, just... there it is. Like he's got this Penguin shirt, and I used to get free clothes from Penguin, so that's why I clocked it. But I'm like, I don't think they exist anymore, probably because I got too many free clothes. But he's got a like a, you know, brand new Penguin shirt that he's popping out of the closet. Boom.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Becky Lynch comes out to address her attack on Lyra Valkyria last week. Man, they just torpedoed through a bunch of stories here in like 30 seconds. She says... Bayley was taken out right before WrestleMania. We're not going to do weeks of who done it and guessing who the culprit was. I did it. Okay. So, she attacked Bayley before WrestleMania in order for Lyra to find a partner that she just knew she'll pick me. So she picked Becky. Then Becky takes the spot. They win the titles. And then she turns on Lyra on Raw after losing the titles. So, we are not doing any prolonged story with Bayley, although Bayley is going to be attached to this. And her explanation is because she has been attacked by Bayley nonstop since 2019. She never apologized and makes fun of Bayley, crying that she's not a bigger star. And she explains how the friend of my enemy is my enemy. Lyra, you wouldn't be in this business without me. But then you started teaming with Bayley, and she calls her a bitch and a loser. So this prompts Lyra to come out, says, I was warned about you, Becky, but I didn't buy into it. But now I see it all, and the illusion of Becky Lynch is dead to me. I will make you pay. I beat you for the NXT title. Becky says she's challenged to a fight, but Becky only fights when it matters, and it doesn't matter in Kansas City. So Lyra then makes the challenge for Backlash. I'll even put my title on the line. I'll say Becky's plans, they fall into perfect synchronicity here. She just lures her into this title match for Backlash and gets it. And then Becky runs away, and as Lyra's leaving up the stage, gets jumped from behind. So yeah, Lyra looked kind of foolish by the end of this entire thing, but Becky gets her title match and I guess eventually something with Bayley.
Her and Seth Rollins, when they get back from like, you know, Monday night, they must be both be like, hey, how's it going? I'm doing all right. Because she's like screaming out there for this promo.
Yeah, this was out of control, crazy heel promo, Becky.
I thought it was great though. Like, I love the energy there, but yeah, it was definitely. She came out at 10, and there's nowhere to go but 11, I guess. After you start there, yeah, like I feel like Bayley's got kind of one of the biggest stories coming out of WrestleMania weekend in the behind the scenes stuff. Like, a lot of people were upset that she wasn't on the shows. Obviously she's doing the press run saying, oh, it wasn't a big deal, I kind of knew this was happening, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like there's a lot of like sympathy for her right now. And it feels like this might be something that in a different time, the audience would sort of hijack the show for.
I see that being a big focus of this whole Becky thing that they have laid out here. Unfortunately, I don't see Lyra being too involved in the, like, I think Becky beats her for the title. And then whether you put Becky in this big heel group with Rollins and Heyman or keep them separate, I think you're obviously going to get to Becky and Bayley. I hope Lyra doesn't get just lost in the dust here, which is possible.
Yeah. We will see. There's gotta be someone sacrificed.
Nick Aldis is with Penta. He makes a match with him for JD McDonagh next week. And then Gable and Ivy Nile come in and just make fun of Penta, call him a luchador on the descent. He's like, I've been here 2 months, and says how he dropped the big one at WrestleMania and your useless brother losing to El Grande Americano. This is enough. Penta will get, he'll get called old. He'll get made fun of for losing, but don't you call my brother useless. And he attacks Chad Gable and leaves him. Then it was time for the Rusev video. What a video this was. He says, I once had it all. Fame, gold, the tank at WrestleMania. But then I lost myself. I left the WWE and on my way home to Bulgaria, fell into the abyss. Yes, everyone. The upstart Abyss EW he found himself in. I found myself in the abyss where I redeemed myself and fixed myself. And it was there I had an epiphany to use my hands and my jacked body for good. I will perfect those that waste their talents. I am the tempest rolling in that will fix you just like I fixed myself. I think this was a roundabout way of saying he's going to murder people, but it was done in Rusev poetry.
Yeah, and burying AEW at the same time, murdering AEW at the same time.
I fell into the abyss for several years. I have no memory of this abyss, but I got out of my my obligations there. Ivy Nile against Stephanie Vaquer, who went for the devil's kiss no less than 3 times in this match. She used it twice. She goes up to Gable after Gable puts Nile's leg on the rope and is caught with a German from behind. But then she makes her comeback. After taking a uranage, she hits a dragon screw out of the corner and wins with the SVB in 9 minutes and 33 seconds. So again, Mike, much like Julia, using a Stephanie Vaquer 2 weeks in a row here, but not really attached to any story here. I guess loosely tied to American made. But what have you thought about Stephanie Vaquer so far?
I think she's awesome. She's like crazy strong too, and obviously has a great look and is awesome in the ring. But yeah, like it's going to be like, especially with someone who's got like a vaguely kind of supernatural kind of presentation, it's always like, how are they going to handle this? Like, I guess like the obvious thing would be sticking her in a faction with like dressed people. But yeah, there's no, and I guess we'll see what happens with her getting a storyline.
Out of like Julia, Roxanne and Vaquer, and granted Vaquer does still have this championship, like, do you see them main roster bound in the next little while, or do you think this is just they're doing a few main roster shots and we'll see them primarily on NXT?
I don't know, it's interesting how they're kind of handling things now. Like, it feels like the walls between NXT and the main roster are so much more permeable in the Triple H kind of TKO era. And
Perez has been like bouncing up and like back and forth all year, like since January. So like, she seemed like she was going to just be main roster bound, but they've kept her presence in NXT this whole time.
I guess the thing is they've got like between, you know, the three main programs, they've got so many bodies that they kind of like, and they have so much time, I guess, that they kind of need to rely on NXT to kind of fill out some of these slots. I think Julia, I obviously made it quite clear that I've been a fan of hers since Stardom kind of days. So I feel like she could be main roster bound. I feel like though, once you get on that main roster, figuring out a way to have the person cut promos becomes such a key thing to it. And so I don't know. Like I'm sounding like I'm talking all over the map right now, but I think it's the Triple H era, so things are different now. I think in a different time, Vince McMahon probably would have kept these people down in NXT, but I'd love to see him on the main roster more.
Aldis is hanging out with AJ Styles and says, I know you can make a comeback. If anyone can, it's you after this debilitating loss to Logan Paul. So then Dominic, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez walk in, and Liv explains how she needs time off because she's off to film a big movie. And Aldis says, yep, it's been approved. It's like, okay. And then Dominic says, well, I want time off too. Why? Because I'm the champion. I can do whatever I want. Aldis explains, well, you're the champion, so your workload actually doubles. I was like, what about these other two champions that just have been granted time off? I mean, how does this work? Are we just icing these women's tag titles for the foreseeable future? And Dom tells a bunch of old jokes to AJ Styles, and I guess Dominic and AJ Styles will that feels like a TV match.
Yeah. But what's the movie Liv's doing? Do you know?
I don't know what the movie is, but yeah, obviously it's something that requires time off. I don't know why they put the tag belts back on them last week.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they care too much about those titles. But
yeah. Yeah. We'll see if they are missed.
They're like back for a week, then they're gone to make a movie.
Karrion Kross got his 30 seconds of TV this week, telling Sami Zayn he's got a big choice to make, and hopefully he makes the right one.
Do you like him with the long hair, or do you like him with the shaved head, John?
He's got nice hair. I won't lie. It seems a lot of people like the shaved look, but I think this one, this look is fine for him.
I'm a bald person, so that might be my bias on this. Okay. But I think he is more intimidating with the long hair, with the short hair, the buzzed hair. With the long hair, he looks like a wrestler you'd see on the weekend at, you know, a Ringing in the Ears show or something at the Opera House.
Ringing ears, Karrion Kross. Yes.
Yeah, ringing ears, Karrion Kross.
Yeah, he's an interesting one to watch. Like, it seemed like he got a lot of buzz for himself over Mania weekend between Bloodsport, the promo he did on the podcast. Like, he always gets like these spots with like key people. I just don't know if they see him as doing anything beyond like this kind of the devil on your shoulder kind of character that he's found himself in. He's a very oddly utilized character in WWE.
Yeah, he's like a character actor, like where you get kind of like stuck in these roles, like in like an R-Truth type thing where it's like, man, I guess if the paycheck clears, though, these guys must be like, I don't give a fuck.
During the commercial break, you might not have seen this. Ludwig Kaiser got some promo time. And
I did. I watched it on Netflix.
Okay. Well, he complained about being overlooked and underappreciated by Adam Pearce. He calls himself the greatest German export since Mercedes-Benz. And with that, they were out of time and they had to cut his interview short.
I love this guy. I think he's awesome in the ring. And I think he's a great promo. I think he knows his character. These things that they keep doing in the breaks where they force these guys to come out there and do these like random weird promos. It's almost like a promo class, I guess. But they're like the Austin Theory one too.
Well, it's like Ludwig Kaiser. He's got no storyline going. He's got no one to direct his promo to. So I'm underappreciated, so make that creative for 45 seconds. Like, you're given so little to, like, what am I promoting? What am I pushing? Nothing. Just fill time, and hopefully we see something in you.
I think there's probably something they could be doing that was a better use of the breaks. Like, maybe bring Scott Stanford back or something, like, just to promo stuff. Because, like, these random promos for nothing just are very strange.
How about 3-minute stand-up comedy sets live in the arena?
That went over so well with that Kill Tony thing. Like, who didn't see that as being a train wreck? Like, that was a check in the mail that this was going to be a huge disaster.
That was the appeal, I think.
I guess that was the appeal, but like, this is like, that's the appeal for, you know, the fans of this kind of stuff. But you think a corporate entity like the WWE, which is, as you know, very, very cautious with who they grant access to, deciding to give this clown show access to their brand. It's like, holy God, what are you guys thinking?
I think they want to totally lean into like that aspect of things. I think they know what audience like a Tony Hinchcliffe brings. And I think this was their example of like going in that direction for something that hopefully we're not going to get any heat for, because it's not broadcast. I think if it was broadcast, I think you would have seen a lot. Like, granted, the audio got out there and everything, but it was, I don't know. I don't know if they'll do one of these again, just for that fact. I don't know if these performers are necessarily going to want to do it again, knowing that this got out, because I think many were doing it with that note that, okay, 2,000 people are going to hear these jokes, and that'll be it.
If you didn't think it was going to get out, then you're an idiot, because, like I was thinking, like, how would I smuggle a microphone in to record this thing? Because, like, that became the thrill as soon as they announced it. It's like, oh, I can't wait for this to leak. Because it will definitely leak.
So Michael Cole and Pat McAfee are back to react to the attack by Gunther last week. And Pat is going to address Kansas City by getting on top of the desk. And that some people have forgotten who I am, including myself. I went from an irrelevant bum to someone known across the country. I'm not better than anyone, but I want to be known as a hard worker. And that's when I'm dead and buried, I want people to say that I gave back, that I left the world a better place, and that I'm one loyal motherfucker. He says there's one person who's been with him from the start. That's Michael Cole. I'll be loyal until he's in the soil. And he calls Gunther that Austrian asshole and warned him not to test Gunther. Well, fuck that. If I die, I die. And he calls out Nick Aldis. And then, what did you think about Pat McAfee's promo here? I mean, he was very much trying to channel, like, Dusty Rhodes here.
Yeah, it was weird. I think it would have been way better if he did it in the ring. I think standing up there, the angle they were shooting him at made him look like, made his legs look really squat, because they're shooting him from, like, a low angle and he's looking down in the camera, which I know he was doing for the effect of being able to look right in the camera and do it. Also, I know it sounds like I'm talking about fashion, and anyone who sees me right now knows I'm the last person to be talking about someone's fashion and complaining, but did he spill something on his jacket and that's why he had to take it off? And that's why he's only in, like, a black t-shirt and black pants. Like,
it was hot.
I guess that's it. Like, he blends in. Like, it's like he's in camouflage for the Raw set. Like, he's like, he just looks like a floating head.
It's
and
a
arm.
Floating head.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird. Like, even now looking at him, it's like his legs are kind of blending in a little bit to the table. It looks like he's, like, emerging from it, like Terminator 2000 or T-1000.
He needs a fuchsia overflow.
A chain. I've never worn jewelry in my life. I think they look ridiculous, but even a chain on that black shirt, like something, like it's,
you need to be a consultant on Raw. That's my conclusion here.
He's like the roadie from Boots and Hearts Festival. That's like, or the sound guy at Boots and Hearts Festival.
All right. So Nick Aldis comes out, and I'm going to share with everyone that I have been very under the weather the last couple of days. I have had to take some cough medicine. So you explain, Damian, if I miss something here, okay? Pat McAfee explains, I'm not happy that Gunther's been suspended. I want you to lift his suspension because I want to fight him. Nick Aldis says, I've already spoken to Adam Pearce about this. The answer is no. But he says, the answer is no, you are both too valuable for this company. However, we can lift his suspension for a contest in the ring for you two to have a match at Backlash. It's like, what? You literally turned down his request before the caveat that I will absolutely give in to your exact request that you have given. Did I miss something here?
No, and there's no way, no matter how much cough syrup you've consumed, that you're higher than I was watching that segment. But okay. I will say that it made no sense to me as well.
He literally said, you're too valuable to, both of you are too valuable to this company. However, we can lift the suspension and you guys can have a match at Backlash.
Pat McAfee's thing sounded like he wasn't ad-libbing it, because he obviously had, but it, like, the verbiage did not match what Nick Aldis's verbiage was when he came out there. And it felt they were on different pages. Even the way the promo kind of ended, when he looked in the camera and the camera wasn't there, like, it seemed like he was kind of doing his own thing, which is, makes sense. He does, like, a podcast. Like, you know, you don't follow scripts on these things.
Well, so we will get this in 2 weeks. Listen, I thought the angle was excellent last week, and I do think there will be a lot of interest for this that they have with Gunther, you know, doing a match with Pat McAfee after, you know, it's been a while since they've seen him in a match, and where you can go with this afterward, whether this is ultimately a setup for Goldberg coming back and doing that match with Gunther or something else. But I do feel this will be set up pretty well for Backlash, given the novelty of McAfee doing a match.
Well, he's probably like one of the most over, like he's Logan Paul levels of popular outside of this company. So I'm sure he will bring eyeballs that and promote it on his show, and it'll be on SportsCenter. It'll be on all these types of places that they want
to
get covered.
That's their hope. I'm sure for this is to get some of that attention. So over the next 2 weeks, they are building up John Cena and Randy Orton. So we got a historical package from their match at SummerSlam 2007, 18 years ago. I don't know if they're going to have enough TV time to go through all of their matches between now and May the 10th, but this was chapter one.
How many times, like on Cage Match, how many times did they wrestle, I wonder? Like hundreds, like between house shows, thousands.
And that might have just been 2009. Yeah. Zane meets up with Jey Uso backstage, and Jey just tells him to make the best decision for him. And Zane tells him, I love you. And then Jey is left there just staring into the abyss. Not AEW, and boom, gets knocked out with a titanium right from Logan Paul, who calls that karma. This is pretty good. This really just came out of nowhere. He just got blasted in the face, and I worry about Jey. He's got no peripheral vision to have seen this guy approaching him from the side and getting a clean shot in on him.
Yeah, like I was actually I had my friends Baron Tim over watching Raw with me, and I was complaining to him, like, I hate how they leave these guys staring off into space. And they never cut. And then as soon as I said that, he got kicked in the face. I'm like, okay, I stand corrected. That was perfect.
Next week on the show, we have Rusev against Otis and Penta against J.D. McDonough. So I'm sorry you're not coming back for that one, Damian.
Well, Penta, I forgot to wear my Penta mask, John. Like that was I meant to wear my Penta mask. I was hoping he was going to wrestle today so we could talk about Penta. But anytime you want me to come back and talk about either of the Lucha Brothers, you know. I'm only a phone call away.
You're in tight with the Lucha Brothers, aren't you?
I would say definitely Phoenix. I got pretty close with when we were making that show. Penta, we only hung out with a couple times. But can I tell a quick Penta story?
Go ahead.
So we were filming at Florida, and Penta shows up at the CCW show, and DJ Hyde, as he shows up, is like, "You're going to be in a death match today against Matt Tremont," and he's like, "No." Fuck, like waves it off. No way. And he's like, well, it's what we got booked, blah, blah, blah. And so he's like, fine. So he does it. And then afterwards, we're sitting in their hotel room and he comes out and he's just bleeding everywhere. Oh. And like, his English has gotten a lot better than then. And Phoenix's English was better than his brother's, Penta's English. But he just turns to me and he just shakes his head. And points this gaping wound on his inner thigh from a light bulb tube. And I'm like, yeah, rough day. Definitely. So he's doing a lot better now that he's made it here.
Dude, I got to get to WWE yesterday.
Yes. I feel like I feel like Phoenix, you know, as Rey Mysterio's entering the twilight of his career. And, you know, there's very few people that are natural baby faces in the way that Phoenix is. Sami Zayn, I feel like, is a natural baby face. And I feel the same energy from Phoenix where you just like want to root for this guy.
6 years ago, you would have been a heel by now.
I know. Definitely. They would have fucked this way up.
Take the mask off.
Yeah. That just got to take the mask off as soon as he gets there.
He denounces Mexico.
Yeah.
And he joins Chad Gable. That would be week three.
He starts painting his face like the American flag, stars and bars.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'd respell P H O E. N-I-X.
Yes.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
My new home. Seth comes out for the final segment. This is when Damian messaged me and said, what happens if the show goes long?
I'm like, they're going to wrestle for at least a half hour now.
I thought the opposite. I thought they were just going to do this talking segment and end early. I wasn't even thinking we were going to get this match at the end, but I guess I should have thought that. So Zayn comes out to make his decision, and he states how Zayn says, you know, we have a long history together. Rollins says, when I had my child, you were one of the first people I called, and you gave me advice that changed my life. Now I'm offering you the advice to change your life. Take this trade, move to SmackDown, because bad things will happen if you stay here on Raw. And Zayn's just looking at him. He's like, listen, dude, I'm not going to that three-hour show. There's no way. And Zayn apologizes if he's hurt his feelings. Everything you've said was true. Our kids play together. We've been friends a long time. Everything you say out of the ring is true. But when you're inside this ring, I think you're playing games. Rollins knows how much I want the world title. You're dangling that in front of me, but I've never run away from anything. And you're threatening me, and says that I can live with being a target. I can't live with being blackmailed, blackballed, or extorted. I will become world champion, but when I do, it won't be because of any favors. I'm going to do it the right way. I respect you as a friend, but I'm telling you to go to hell. It's like not much of a friend, to be honest here. And with that, Bron Breakker enters with Heyman, and we go into our impromptu match with Sami Zayn, minus the Penguin shirt, against Bron Breakker for the final 15 minutes of Raw. And Zayn gets his head drilled into the desk repeatedly and then hit with the flying clothesline. Zayn mounts a comeback with a sunset flip powerbomb. Heyman starts to look concerned, and then Bron turns it up. He hits the Breakensteiner, pulls down the straps, and goes for a spear, and is met with a kick and an exploder. Zayn then runs at Bron and gets his first spear. Then Bron runs the ropes and hits a second spear. Rollins tells him to take him out. There's still time to take the deal. Zayn again tells him to go to hell. So now Bron hits another spear as Zayn rolls to the floor. The EMTs get called in, and Rollins gives Bron the signal. He slashes the throat, and he sprints around the ring for a fourth spear. And these evil heels are met with the chant one more time as Michael Cole is pleading that Sami Zayn can't breathe. The referee calls this off, saving Sami Zayn's life. The crowd boos. They continue to chant one more time. And Rollins explains to Braun, this is your first lesson of being a superstar. He made his bed. Now he's got to lay in it. And Rollins hits his former friend with the stomp. And how does the crowd respond? They sing for Seth as we go off the air. So that was the end of Raw. Sami Zayn left for dead. And again, I think they are going to have to work really hard to keep this group heels among this audience. But yes, we got the destruction of Sami Zayn.
Yeah, like they're not really doing, as I said at the top, they're not really doing any great service to making themselves into heels, because they do come off kind of cool. And yeah, like it's going to be interesting how they keep this going with them as the bad guys, especially because Sami Zayn, I would feel like if there's anyone that's going to be over with the crowd more than them, it would be probably someone like Sami Zayn, but apparently not.
I mean, he's the guy that you would think would elicit that sympathy, but I think the audience, I think they're just in, like, we see so many of these heel attacks now, whether it's Jacob Fatu or with Bronson Reed. It's like they just get into these attacks on the baby faces, and the one more time just becomes like the go. It happened last week with Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria. I think it's just kind of ingrained now in these audiences to just cheer on these big moves, even if it's the baby face getting murdered, which was the case here. But I mean, this group, it's like, it's a cool group to a lot of people. And I think you're just going to have to fight a bit of that, because I think overall the crowd really likes these three together.
Yeah, I think they still need like a, and I know Bron Breakker's kind of their big man, but I still think they need a big man in this faction, like a big monster, because they're not
Omos,
bring him back.
Yeah,
is he still doing Big Japan, or no? He's doing All Japan, or something.
He's riding the bench that doesn't exist in WWE, according to Nick Khan.
Oh man,
got snatched back. He got called back in like January, and he's just doing nothing.
Yeah, because
this guy could have been in Noah this whole time.
Yeah, because this definitely could use like another person in this faction. Maybe it's going to be Becky Lynch. I just think like they need a couple more people in there for it to be, you know.
Well, how was your experience watching Raw and knowing that you had to talk about it after the fact? Have you been watching most the Raw on Netflix era?
I've been dipping in and out. I feel like for the last, like after I made The Wrestlers, there was like a bunch of stuff that kind of happened in the few years after, like a couple of friends passing away, and that it just, it affected my enjoyment of wrestling. And I feel like the thing that kind of kept me in love with wrestling was you and Wei talking about it. And so I kind of like listen to you guys. And if you guys are like, oh, this is amazing, I'm like, oh, great, I'll watch it. I've watched WrestleMania this year and, you know, enjoyed parts of it, but I feel like it's you guys that kind of have kept my flame going for,
are your kids into it at all at this point or no?
Not really. Like they'll go to the live wrestling. They'll like, they love going to see live wrestling and, mm-hmm. and being at a show. Like I took, I was at a Superkick show a couple weeks ago, and that those Superkick shows are awesome. Like what a cool environment, like for a wrestling show. Like it was like a hip club kind of vibe there too. And it was a real fun, you know, live wrestling. There's nothing like watching wrestling live. So the kids enjoy doing that, but, yeah, they just can't get engaged with the WWE product on TV, I find. And same with AEW. They definitely love when they know the wrestler. They're like, mm-hmm. you know, Darby Allin a couple years ago came with me to vote. And Yeah, I couldn't bring my youngest child who was with me inside. So I left them in the care of Darby Allin for a little bit. They were always in my visual range, but... You know,
have you got any texts from Mount Everest? Do they get reception up there?
He sent me a text the other day being like, how the hell did you get Billy Idol on the podcast? And I'm like, are you going? He's like, I'm at base camp right now. So I'm like, you're listening to my Billy Idol interview.
So he's got Wi-Fi.
Yeah. But he guess he's heading up. He's probably heading up right now.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's the latest. Keep us updated.
I will. As soon as I hear when he gets back, I will let you know. Yeah, like to me, that's the wildest thing. I've seen him do some ridiculously insane things, but climbing Mount Everest, having never climbed a mountain, to me is...
That's up there.
I hope they're making a documentary.
They should be filming this. That would be great footage to have in your back pocket. They should really have packages for people that want to climb. Like you get a film crew with you or something of that nature.
I think they do have some sort of thing like that when you go there, right? Because I don't know, like I don't know too much about. I've never been mountain climbing. I've only watched a couple documentaries, but yeah, like I think with
this Mount is what Everest, you and I will do in our retirement phases. We'll do stem cells.
We're getting stem cells.
Then we'll climb a mountain. Maybe one less ambitious than Mount Everest. Let's climb like I don't know, something a little more
Scarborough Bluffs.
I'm down.
Yeah, let's do the bluffs first.
All right. Well. Damian is going to be sticking around with me. We're going to go through a little bit of feedback here. We're going to say goodbye to everyone on the YouTube channel. But as we say goodbye to all of you, all the viewers out there, give us information on where people can check out the famous Billy Idol interview that has been heard by John Pollock, many wrestlers out there, and all that you're doing out there.
You can check out at Turned Out of Punk on Instagram or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Turned Out of Punk's on there, and it is a podcast that would not exist without John Pollock and Wei Ting's inspiration. And at one point, Wei was going to be my co-host for it because John wouldn't answer my calls.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, originally the plan was that the intros were going to be me telling Wei about the band, and then
really
go into the episode. And then Wei's like, I think you should just probably do it by yourself. And I was like, yeah, probably might be a good idea.
Wei's too modest, I think, when it comes to his, you did put the man in a music video, did you not?
I did. And anytime you want to be in a music video, I was sent to our group chat, but I've heard on this very program that
the Don't group even. Chat
is not the place to go to.
Beyond Billy Idol, everyone, you can catch up on interviews with, I don't want to get any of these pronunciations wrong, but we have Michael Bishop from Gore was on not too much.
Gore, you know Gore.
Gore.
I would say they're probably one of the most recognizable bands to ever come out of punk, Gore. Like they're in Empire Records.
Kate Nash was a very good one. I listened to that. Ernie C from Body Count. Body Count fan. Vanessa and Jonah Bear from How Did We Get Weird.
Vanessa Bayer from Saturday Night Live as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just These are very impressive names that you are always able. Well, shout out to Tristan Abraham as well, the Booker extraordinaire here, the magic behind Turned Out a Punk.
Well, Vanessa and Jonah are my friend, but yeah, Tristan, a lot of the other times he books them.
Okay, you take your credit where it's due.
I got to do a name drop somewhere in this episode, John. I think I've done a couple.
All right, go to Pooza Fest in Montreal. Catch Damien Abraham. Whether he's taking chair shots as well at the local wrestling show. On top of that, you can get the whole Damien Abraham experience, punk wrestling. And, you know, if you go up to him, he will give you a hug. If you give him the code word, Robbie Brookside.
No, what was the code word? Ultimate Throw Ride. I think it was what we made the code word to get a hug from John Pollock that one year at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And, that was a, It was both helpful to my ego that so many people came up and said that, but also frightening for one-on-one social situations as well. So I thank you and Braden for that as well. All right, we're going to say goodbye on the YouTube channel, but on the cafe, sit back. We're going to go into feedback.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.